Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. All right, gang. Are you trying to fight DSOs in your state, struggling with competition going on, and you're looking for something that can differentiate your practice? Then you need to tune in to this episode with Santosh Patel, as we're going to talk about bringing specialists into your practice as a general dentist. All right, so today I'm joined by Santosh. Santosh, what's up?
What's going on, man? How are you?
You know, it's very weird to talk to a brown man with such a deep southern accent. I'm a little concerned about you.
Yeah, people are surprised when they see me versus when they hear my voice.
I know. I mean, I'm expecting you to be very white with a cowboy hat. We're sitting here in Dallas, Texas in my hotel room. And Santosh, you run a company that provides specialty services for general dentists?
That's right, yeah. So I'm one of the co-founders, Complete Specialty Solutions. We're here located in Texas, Dallas and Houston specifically right now. And so we integrate specialists into GP offices. We bring the board-certified, board-eligible specialists, the staff, the supplies and equipment, ultimately just to kind of make them more of a multi-specialty office.
Yeah, and so what I want to do is I want to make sure we're clear for our listeners is that I want to talk about three things today. I want to talk about why specialty is important for a general dentist. I want to talk about how a person can do it themselves, what we can learn from you who's doing it as a business. And then thirdly, I want to talk about those that choose to outsource, how your service works, and go from there. And we'll kind of address some things along the way. Sound
sure.
fair?
No, that's great.
All right. So can I do my rant now?
Go ahead, okay. Please.
All right. So this will probably get me in a little bit of trouble. But I don't understand how we as general dentists, 150,000 strong, mm-hmm. allowing 10,000 specialists to control our profession. They're controlling what we do in our practices. They're controlling our reimbursement. They're controlling so much of the way we do things as if this was still 1970 and 1980 when things were completely outsourced to specialists. And we live in a very different model now. And if I continue to hear general dentists tell me that they're scared of adding procedures to their practice because of what their specialist may think, I want to continue to throw up, because at the end of the day, we hold the power. You know, vast majority of specialists, 80 to 90% of their business comes from general dentists who refer to them. So we should hold all the cards. All we got to do is get together and just cut them off and they'll fall in line. And I know that's not what you're about necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't want to associate you with my opinions. But my point is it's almost 2020.
Sure.
You know, our landscape of dentistry is best time ever to be dentist, but the landscape has changed. We're dealing with large corporate practices. We're dealing with large group practices. We're dealing with just lots of dentists. And I believe the future of dentistry in terms of doing well and doing great work
is multi-doctor practices,
right.
Being multi-GPs and multiple disciplines of service,
correct.
So that we can be consumer patient-centric. So let's talk about, so that's my rant.
Yeah.
So let's talk about why specialty in the GP office is necessary and is the future of dentistry.
Yeah, I mean, so why does it make sense,
right,
ultimately? And so, you know, if you take a step back and just think about your end user, your patient, why are patients now going for convenience? You know, why do patients go to Super Target,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they go to one place, they can have everything in one stop, and it's easy for them.
Why right? do they go to Starbucks?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, now, yeah. why did Starbucks add breakfast items,
yeah.
right? I mean, what?
You know, when I talk to dentists, I tell them, I ask them these questions. I say, Starbucks is a DSO.
Yeah.
Super Target is a DSO.
That's it.
I mean, it's no different. I mean,
right.
they're doing what we're not doing. What they're doing is
yeah.
they're listening to the audience, they're listening to their market, and yeah. they're responding.
That's exactly
the market
right.
says, hey, I want to go to a convenient place that's open, hours that don't interfere with my work schedule,
right.
and I can go to one place and I can get it all done, and we can continue to make these arguments that we treat people better, that we're better dentists,
sure.
blah, 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 but the market's not saying that that's what
right.
they want.
Yeah, so patients are demanding. They're demanding convenience. They've been doing this 10 years ago in the medical space where they added specialists to GP practices there simply because they want to have, number one, they want the convenience, but number two, they also want to know that their primary doctor is now engaged in
yeah.
discussing their overall treatment, their overall care with a specialist, right?
Right.
And so patients are becoming more and more engaged and they're, you know, becoming aware of what are the benefits of seeing a specialist, but they also like the benefit of having all of that in one place.
Yeah. So, you know, I call that the Mayo Clinic model
yeah.
of dentistry, right?
That's right.
Where people can actually get together. I mean, I get together with my specialists now, but it's a pain in the butt sometimes,
sure.
right? Luckily, we text each other.
Right.
We have a good relationship. I see my surgeon, especially, I see him, you know, pretty much every other weekend or so. So, you know, we're able to do that. But, you know, there are times I want to do that. So to me, let's talk about some of the one benefit I'm thinking of is, so now when we do multiple disciplinary cases, we're asking our patients to make multiple financial arrangements.
Right.
You know, whereas if somebody's using third-party financing, maybe your specialist doesn't take it, but you take it.
Sure.
You know, we're not making it easy for our patients. You know, maybe there's some lag in communication.
How many visits? How many
yeah.
visits does a patient
sure.
have?
You know, we right. can start talking about time.
Yep.
How
absolutely.
Our profession has completely lost track of time for patients.
Right.
And so there's so much, you know, there's so much benefit from a clinical perspective as
right.
well.
Right.
But let's talk about a little bit about the business benefit as well.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, so what are you seeing? So you work with what, 70, 80 practices right
correct.
Now?
Right.
That are integrating specialty care into mm-hmm. their GP practice.
Right.
What are those practices seeing? Let's what are some of the numbers?
Yeah, so I mean, so one of the things that's, you know, surprising is that less than 40% of patients actually end up going to a specialist.
After you refer them there.
Right. After they're referred out, you know, less than 40% of patients actually end up going to a specialist. It's not because they don't like the specialist. It's not because the specialist review
it's
is
inconvenient.
Great. It's just because they have to coordinate and have to discuss, you know, their schedule, their transportation. It's just multiple visits, right?
Yeah.
And so when you can bring in a specialist in-house and focusing on the right case and right place, then you're starting to see almost 70% of those patients
yeah.
seeing a specialist. Even if it's at least for a consult, it begins their care opportunity and their treatment.
You know, that's interesting you mentioned that, because I remember back in 2007, 2008, when I was considering getting serious about adding implants and adding cone beam to my practice, I went back and it was roughly 20% of my patients that I sent for implants that I diagnosed and suggested implants to
right.
would actually show up and come back from the specialist office.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I knew that we had better, we should be better than that.
Right.
And I think a lot of it has to do with convenience, and part of it's also cost.
I mean, this on the specialist side, the specialists who have their own practices, they have a high conversion rate. It's
yeah.
just how many folks are actually walking through their door.
How many at-bats are they getting?
Exactly, yeah.
All right. So you believe, and I believe too, that number one, it's good for the patient.
Yep.
It's good for our business. What kind of revenue increase on average are you seeing in some of your practices?
Oh, 30 to 40% lift.
Okay.
On again, it's if it's integrated well, and I think
okay.
that's the most important part, is if it's integrated well and it's thought through from a full team approach. So it's not just the dentist who thinks this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hygienist who's really bought into this concept. It's the front desk. It's the clinical RDAs.
I laugh at these things because those to me are non-negotiables. If I as the dentist and the owner am bought into this, why is my team not
bad? Yeah, so I'll give you an example. A prime example is a patient walks in, has the exam with the dentist. The dentist says, I absolutely think you need to do this. And the dentist leaves and goes to the next operatory. The patient then turns to the RDA and says, who's this surgeon? And if the RDA is not convinced that this is the right surgeon for the practice, has the right cultural fit, then your case acceptance goes down. If it's if the response is, well, it's a surgeon who comes in once a month, then that's not going to work, right? Versus, oh, it's Dr. Smith, and he's fantastic. He comes here.
We're so fortunate to be able to have him come in and make it convenient for you.
Patients love him.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I mean by the staff has to be engaged in that level. But at the same time, the specialist has to do their part to engage that staff, right? So when they do come there, they have to know the staff's name. They have to engage with them. I mean, they're walking into a referral network. So really, you know, they're not casting a large net. They're really focusing on that practice and knowing that team well.
Santosh, I have to correct you on one thing.
What's
that? My listeners are probably amazed that I've waited this long. It's team, not staff.
Sorry.
Staff's an infection.
Team. Yeah,
team. But this just to, I got to keep my street cred.
Yeah, I get it.
Imagine this. You get to the end of the day, you don't feel tired, you kind of take a look at how your day went, and you realize that you didn't work that hard. You had team members that were engaged, you had clinical team members that were doing the heavy lifting for you, you had hygienists that were helping enroll patients in treatment, and you had front office team members that knew what they were doing and were making sure that you were getting paid and that you were scheduled properly. I used to believe this was a pipe dream. I used to believe that the way to increase your revenue and to increase profits was simply working harder. And then I realized that the real key is about working smarter, not harder. I founded 3D Dentists on that simple principle. How we can take different techniques and different services, add them to a practice while making things easier for us. If you'd like to learn more, all you got to do is visit www.3d-dentists.com and look around. If you got any questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me directly. Now, let's get back to our show.
Let's talk about some common fears.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm listening to this podcast as I'm driving.
Yeah.
And my like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. But dude, that'll never work in my practice, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about some fears, okay? So what are some of the common fears that you're seeing?
Yeah, so I mean, I think some of the fears are, can I recruit a specialist?
Okay.
Will I find the right type of specialist for my practice? What is the liability that my practice now has by bringing in a specialist and having these cases? And will the specialist be available if there's a post-op complication? And those are typically the fears. I mean, then the other questions comes around on what's the split.
The business side.
Right.
Let's focus on the clinical side of that. So,
sure.
So your clinical side is how do I will I be able to find a specialist? How hard is it? So let's transition now to the do-it-yourself. Okay, hey, so now I'm being selfish and using, I'm invited you as a guest on the podcast to essentially get your consulting is
what I'm doing.
Okay. All right. I want to find a specialty in my practice.
Right.
Okay. So let's answer this question first. When is a practice ready to bring a specialist in?
So there's, okay. So it depends on the specialty specifically, right? But if you look at the life cycle of the practice, number one, you should track how many referrals you're sending out, right?
Okay.
And then number two, you know, is your, are you in an early stage of your practice where a good 20, 30% of your patients are under the age of 25? Maybe you add ortho pretty quickly, right? That could be a good
opportunity. Oral surgery for thirds.
Or oral surgery. And usually what we see is if you add ortho, within 6 months you're adding oral surgery pretty quick, right?
Okay.
And so those two have great crossover in terms of the interdisciplinary kind of relationship there. And then you know, endo, if that's a skill set that you're just not as interested in or not as proficient in and it takes up too much chair time, then that's a specialty you can bring in as well.
So now let's just came to my mind. What about the person that says, well, I do the thirds in my practice. What benefit would I have of bringing a specialist in?
So it really comes down to chair time and then potential complications, right?
Okay.
And so, I mean, now if you're very comfortable with thirds and haven't had any complications, then obviously not an issue. But
I've only taken out one set and I had no complications.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
But my sample size is a little small.
Yeah. So we do run into offices where, you know, the office says, you know, I feel comfortable doing thirds, but sometimes what happens is I pull up in the pano and I see two of the four thirds that I can do. And right. so I'd rather just have the specialist come in and take care of the patient, and it's quick. And or they offer sedation services to the patient. So,
what about the reimbursement? Isn't reimbursement typically higher for a specialist than it is for a GP?
It is. Yeah. So there, you know, there's a couple insurance plans that, you know, pretty much reimburse the same. But for the most part, the reimbursement for specialists is higher.
20%, 30%?
20-30%. Yeah. I mean, some are just, you know, depending if your specialist in network, out of network. Even if you're out of network, you don't really have to be significantly higher on your UCR. You just kind of align it to where it makes sense.
So, okay, so now I'm doing the business math in my head, okay? Yeah. So let's use 25 to 30% increase fee for a specialist to do the same procedure. I can basically make the same money by doing nothing by paying somebody else to do the work for me, right?
Right. Well, actually, I would say it's incremental.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not that you're not doing anything. You're still actually filling up your own chair time with additional volume.
Yeah, so. But I don't want to do that other stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you'll take the day off.
Yeah, I'll take the day off, right? Yeah, but I can make the same amount as me doing it because their fees are higher.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, I should just become, if I'm a real businessman, which is what at the end of the day all these people are, I should just be a middleman.
Yeah.
I should just pay other people to do the work for me.
Yeah. And so I think when you go out and talk to a lot of the dental practices who have two or three specialists that come in, they feel like they're the quarterback, right? Yeah. The patients come there, they've earned the trust of patients to come into their practice. They've then earned the respect and the trust of the specialist to work as a team, right? And then, you know, the patients trust who they're being referred to within the practice. And so they're the quarterback. They're structured to where they're able to delineate where, you know, a patient can get the best care, and they continue. And from a general dentist standpoint, you may not work 5 days a week. You may be working 3 days a week, but you're still managing, but you know, you're covering your overhead.
But you're managing in a different way. You're managing clinically.
Correct.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's address this question, because we kind of skipped around over it a little bit. So on average, I would probably say that a practice that's doing $600,000-$700,000 in revenue is probably ready to bring in a specialty.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And that's what we find. So the median average, I think, for a solo practice is around $600,000of production. And so that typically means that the practice has enough, you know, for oral surgery, has enough for, you know, two or three or four thirds with IV sedation, has enough patients for implant services, has enough where they're diagnosing, depending on the age range of their patient base, for perio disease, right?
Okay.
And so, and again, if they're early on in the practice kind of demographic, then ortho's fantastic. I mean, I think some concerns that offices have, they don't feel like they have enough patients for ortho. But an office can be very successful, and we've seen it. I mean, just doing financial projections on it, practices can be very successful with 2.5 starts per month.
Right.
And so that not only is it 2.5 starts per month, but it's patient retention. The patients are with you now for...
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Well, it's also like, that's on this kid, and then the second kid, and then, you know, the average person has between 2 to 3 years between children.
Right.
So every couple of 3 years, you're just, we're all getting 2 to 3 kids, you know?
And then their hygiene appointments are routine. They're managing those. The overall dental IQ of the family goes up because they're constantly in the office, right? And so... I mean, I think that's a great way to retain patients. Everyone always wants to go out and get new patients, yeah. but sometimes we forget about retaining patients.
I have a different take on getting new patients. Yeah. But all right, so now we've talked about bringing in a specialist. How am I going to keep them busy? Am I hiring them full time? Am I hiring them one day a week? What are we expect? What are the expectations for me as a GP to try to recruit a specialist?
Yeah, so part of that's really just having the open, honest conversation with the specialist. And I think sometimes there's a lot of assumptions made without mm-hmm. really just saying, okay, what...
Like my assumption is, why the hell would they leave the practice to come to mine?
Right, yeah. So the opportunity cost, right? You know, are they going to shut down their practice on a Wednesday where that's a $10,000, $12,000 day for them to come to your office? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's now a whole generation of specialists who do not have a practice.
Correct.
With cats like him.
Yep.
So your question doesn't even fit that person. They don't have a practice.
Yeah.
So for those of you guys that hear Hutan in the background, he's sitting in my room too. We're having a slumber party here. But Hutan made a good point. I mean, nowadays, so we talk a lot about debt. Yep. Of these students coming out of school, and a lot of times we think of it as GP debt, but the same specialists have the same amount of debt, if not more
right.
because they had to carry it for four more years,
right.
you know, because they're making 40 grand, which barely covers living expenses in most of these big cities.
Right.
So a lot of them aren't choosing to actually open up their own practice, and a lot of them are going to this model that we're seeing. So
right. Yeah, I mean,
a lot
of them will go directly to a DSO, right? Because it's a guaranteed income. You know, and so that allows them to kind of move in more.
There's no coddling. I got to go kiss ass and get, you know, build up a business.
Yeah.
Like my younger brother's an oral surgeon, and he says one of the things, I said, why do you want to be academic? He goes, it's just less ass kissing I got to do. It's like it's a different type
it's
of.
It's a different ass.
It's a different ass I got to kiss, right? But, you know, and I kind of understand,
yeah.
you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so back, the question was, is, you know, how many days do I need to kind of do this for? On average, what do you...
Yeah, so to start out, really, it's just one day a month.
One day a month.
And you know, I'll use Jamie Amos's phrase of feature stack, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just kind of build it up for one day a month. And again, if the team understands that and it's part of the workflow, then it can be very successful for the practice and the specialist. And, you know, I think obviously everyone wants to aim for that goal within a $10,000 day. You know, you got to have a $5,000 day before you get to a $10,000 day. And so, you know, once you start to get a good process flow down, it makes sense. And
all right, so I want to go on a couple of things on that tangent.
Yeah.
I know I have a list of stuff that we haven't gotten to
yet.
Yeah,
that's fine. Okay.
All right, so I think a lot of it you made mention is we have to have a conversation. Rarely are we going to be able to start out and bust it. Okay, it's going to be a slow progression, so the specialist has to understand they're building a business to a certain degree.
Right.
They're building that relationship. That's one thing. But the other thing that just kind of crossed my mind is, let's give some real-world examples of what a day is.
Sure.
Okay. So what would a day be for an oral surgeon? Four sets of thirds?
Yeah.
Five sets of thirds?
Four or five sets of thirds.
Okay.
With IV sedation.
Okay. And that's decent day for most surgeons.
That's a decent day. Yeah, I mean, okay. if we're talking in-network, out-of-network, obviously that can change.
In-network is probably, what, $1,500, $1,600 a set with sedation?
About 25 for, okay. Well, for in-network?
In-network.
Yeah, for in-network, you're looking about, you know, 18 to 2100.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's call it $2,000. So that's a 10 grand day.
Yeah.
All right, so basically what I'm hearing is I probably need to refer out six or seven sets of thirds a month to justify having somebody come back for four, to be able to keep four or five of them in my office, because some people have a relationship, they're going to go somewhere else. Some people can't come that one or two days that you have somebody.
Right.
So, you know, if I diagnose four sets a month, that, you know, I may not be able to retain all four in the office, but you know, what GP doesn't diagnose five to seven sets of thirds a month?
Right. Right.
You know, with a relatively mature practice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, okay. So now on the ortho side, how many ortho starts would I probably look at to make it justifiable for an orthodontist to come in one day a month?
So one day a month, three starts a month is fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, three starts a month gets the ball rolling, right?
Yeah, because that's three times five, that's a 15 grand day.
Yep.
They're doing some follow-ups, you know, three, 4 months in.
Yeah.
And they're starting again. So those are good days, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, ortho, kind of the payment's a little different. You don't get all the payment up front. But, yeah, I mean, over time, it's your exponential model, right? And so that's... You know, you want to make sure you have at least four operatories within a practice. This way you can, you know, because the afternoon time is really all your adjustments. And so you need to...
That's a little bit turn, and burn.
All of it, yeah. Okay. So kind of the afternoon, that your ortho is there, is pretty much just your ortho space. But
what about endo? What am I looking for in endo?
It depends. Are you loading the schedule with retreats? Are you loading them with initials?
I'm just trying to think about how do I justify saying I need to explore this?
Yeah.
So if I'm referring out four to five root, well, so if you're saying 4 to 5 root canals a day is a good day for an endo in office, so then maybe I need to refer out. Endo might be I need to refer out a little bit more than that because a lot of that's pain. Nobody's going to wait around for XYZ day in the
endo,
month.
Endo is one of those specialties that twice a month probably works better.
Okay.
Right? And that's because if a patient's has immediate pain, then either there's some antibiotic treatment that can
you can pulp it. Some people aren't comfortable with that.
Right.
All right, so basically if I'm referring out 10 root canals a month, I'm probably ready to bring an endo in for a couple of days.
Yeah, but again, even if you're referring out 6 and you have that relationship with your endodontist and your endodontist is comfortable with that, I mean, it's still at the appetite of the specialist.
Yeah, but I'm talking about typical here.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so now what's left? Perio.
Yes. Yeah, so perio, so implants obviously is an option, but really perio disease.
I believe GP should be doing 60% of the implants.
Right. But if there's there's some offices we work in where the GPs have gone through their implant courses and they still want to continue to gain more confidence and they enjoy being able to do an implant the same day our specialist is doing an implant in their office. Mm-hmm. And it's just overall just that collaborative, collegial work.
Yeah, for me, I think of the implants as full arch cases, things like that.
Yeah.
Things that, maybe I don't want to do alone.
Some interiors, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what would I need to justify? Like 4 or 5 grafts a month for a periodontist?
Right, just perio surgeries, graft. 4 or 5 cases is typically a good day.
So that's pretty universal, basically, along all the specialties. If I can get 4 or 5 cases a month, I can justify bringing somebody in for...
And
a day doesn't need to be 8 to 5. A day can be... Right. So who wouldn't like to work 7 to 5, 7 to 12 and call it a day, you know?
Yeah. And, that's kind of in our company, what we do is when we do a practice assessment, we do a 6-month look back of the practice and say, are you consistently referring out 5 patients? Because we think that if they're referring out 5 patients, we can work with them on getting case
acceptance. That's assuming they're actually putting it into their software.
Well, that's the other element, right? I mean, are you documenting missing teeth? I mean, that's number one.
Yeah, we're documenting that.
You guys are, but sometimes some offices are not documenting as what.
But we're not documenting how many people refer out in the software.
Right. And so that's difficult because if you did want to bring in an orthodontist, how do you run a campaign around, here are the patients I've referred out over the last year, and you see them for hygiene and you know that they still don't have braces on, that you can target those patients specifically. And so... that's part of the, it's not just who you're referring out tomorrow, but who did you refer out a year ago?
Right. That didn't get, because you're saying 20% of them, 25, 30% of them get the work done.
Right.
So there's 70 to 75% that haven't gone.
Correct.
Yeah. My wheels are turning. So far, we're just talking about what's inside of our practice.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't even talked about the savvy practice that's doing a little bit of marketing.
Yeah.
Direct
to consumer. So you think about ortho, right?
Now I can really differentiate my practice because literally you can come to my office and get everything done.
Everything done. Yeah. And that's where we've seen the biggest benefit, right? Is marketing as a multi-specialty practice.
That's a Mayo Clinic of dentistry.
Exactly.
And without using it Mayo Clinic because that's probably trademark infringement.
You said no names.
Yeah.
a great example, the offices where we provide ortho services, on average, 1 to 2 patients are new patients to the practice because the patient was looking for an orthodontist.
Right.
So that not only is it patient retention, but it's bringing new patients.
How many people I meet when I say I'm a dentist? One of the common questions I get is, do you do braces for kids in your office?
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that's what an orthodontist is called, right? But they're still, they're just looking for a solution, right?
Right. An orthodontist, they're direct to consumer. Right.
For the most part.
Yeah. I mean, I would say now it's 80% of their business is direct to consumer. Yeah. Right. I mean, yes, it's nice to go out and get referrals, but if you look at their marketing plans, they're really focused on direct to consumer. These larger private equity backed specialty groups, they're all direct to consumer. I mean, you have
Clear Choice, all those.
Right. They're all. They're going directly to the patient. Because at some point, I mean, I think it's fair if more general dentists are doing more procedures in their practices, the well's going to dry up, right? But that's not necessarily true because the patients are just not necessarily going to the specialist.
Now, speaking of DSOs, so I've been fortunate or unfortunate, depends how you look at it. I think fortunate to have worked with some DSOs, and what I'm seeing, the really savvy DSOs are seeing anywhere between 30 to 50% of their overall revenue from specialties. And that's part of their, I cringe sometimes when I say this, but that's part of their same store model, is their same store increase. So instead of saying, hey, we want to go from 50 to 70 offices, we want to get deeper with our 50 offices by integrating specialty services.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, if you think about it, everyone has their opinion on DSO, but one of the things that DSO is focused on is
they're smart.
They focus on access to care, right? Yeah. So they're gonna open their doors, they're gonna have unique hours, and they're gonna also, once a patient's there, they've spent thousands of dollars on the patient acquisition cost, right?
They want the whole family for everything.
Why not?
Why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't any practice?
Like, right? Listen, when I went to Walmart, they didn't sell groceries growing up. Yeah. Why does Walmart sell groceries? Why are they basically the number one grocery store in the world now, right?
Yeah.
Because they figured, hey, if you're already coming here to get this, why are Walmart selling gas now?
Yes.
Why are Walmart doing oil changes and tire rotations and all that stuff, right? Yeah. Because that, you know, and at what point will our profession stop complaining about DSOs and say, you know what, we can beat them.
Embrace it.
And not embrace necessarily
the strategies.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're just being smart business people, right?
Right.
They're taking the cottage mom and pop business and they're adding like legit business. And it's like massive business principles, common sense business principles to it, right? So we have to do it. Our profession has to do it. Or we're going to be our own downfall. We're going to turn into medicine.
Yeah.
You know, medicine is owned by hospitals and insurance companies now.
They're all
like in Raleigh, North Carolina, you can hardly find independent primary care doctors.
Right.
Hardly.
Yeah. I mean, 10 years ago, that was my space. And 10 years ago, hospital systems were consolidating practices. And so for 10 years, I saw that wave, right? But then you also saw the successful independent practices were adding associates in, and the owners would take a step back to allow their associates to grow.
Yeah, you got to give to them.
You have to.
You got to feed them.
You got to feed them.
Got to feed them.
And so,
same with the specialists.
And that's the exact same philosophy. So, you know, to your point, how do I get, you know, XYZ specialists to stay committed? Well, sometimes you have to throw them, you know, don't give them for your endos. Don't just give them your 2s and 15s. Give them a 12, you know, give them something that is, you know, slam dunk for them. It keeps them engaged and motivated and excited to continue to come back.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
What do I do if my specialist leaves? That's a fear for me.
I think just like anything else, you know, your team members, what do you do when your team members leave, right? I mean, first you want
to... But I go into that expecting that.
Yeah, well, but you know, but same thing, right? You kind of go into it and preparing.
Right.
What are you doing to number one, how do you retain a specialist? What's the...
I'm thinking more like in ortho cases and stuff like that. Like oral surgery, to a certain degree, is a transactional relationship.
Yeah.
You do a set of thirds. If you get past the first 2 weeks, you're likely not going to have complications.
Correct.
Yep. You know, surgery with implants, if you get past the first 6 weeks, you're likely not going to have complications.
Right.
So the ortho is that lingering specialty
that
I worry about.
Yeah. So I mean, that's, so for our company specifically, that is a reason why we have an ortho clinical board, right? Okay. So anyone who comes in within our company, we have an ortho team. So there's some somewhat standardization, right, on philosophy.
But you also have scale of work for 70 to 100 offices that you probably have multiple orthodontists. Worst right. case scenario, you could shift one from here to here to cover you. Yeah. But as an independent...
So as an independent, I think it's just in your contractual relationship with the orthodontist, right?
So maybe
I
mean, we got a contract that if you leave, you got to give me 6 months, you got to, you
know, longer notice,
or you got to find somebody to take over the care or whatever
right,
it may be.
Right, right. I mean, ultimately, it's probably a longer notice period, so you have some time. And not just so you have time to find an orthodontist, but so you have time to introduce your new orthodontist to your patients. Because that's probably the most critical part, right? That's where everyone's fear is.
Because the patients hate that. Patients hate seeing new team members. Yeah, yeah. They hate seeing the revolving door of doctors. Right. You know, okay.
Yeah.
What about complications? How do I have... Look, I want to... This is not me, but I'm making this up, okay? Hey, I'd love to bring in a third molar specialist or an implant specialist into my practice, have them do it one day a month, two days a month, whatever it is, but I am surgically inept. What am I going to do?
So I love that question because we hear that question all the time, right? And I think sometimes we have to take a step back and remember that the specialist, it's still their reputation, right? And so if a patient has a dry socket or has some post-op complications that the general dentist doesn't feel comfortable treating, the specialist is going to make sure that the patient's taken care of. And so if they have a home office and it's easier for the patient to go to the specialist's office because of timing, then they have access there. Or, you know, the specialist can come and see the patient because ultimately it is a specialist reputation and the specialist wants to preserve their malpractice, right? And to make sure, how do we treat the patient quickly and make sure they're well taken care of?
Okay, so what you're saying is a lot of it still falls back on the specialist, not necessarily the GP themselves.
Right.
And that's part of the relationship building, selecting the right specialist to come into your office and all of that.
Right.
So you probably don't want somebody flying in necessarily.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, if you have someone flying in, you just want to make sure you have a good, you know, because you're not going to, in an ideal world, you give every single one of your patients to the specialist that comes to your office, right?
Of course.
But that's not always the case. Yeah. Right. You have emergency cases. You're going to say, and our belief is, really, it's a hybrid model. You're going to have specialists who have their own offices. They may bring in associates within their model, right, within their practice. So it's not just a solo oral surgeon now. They have associates that come in. But there's a landing spot for the patient. And so if someone is traveling, you want to know that you at least have a backup if you need it for whatever reason, right? And so ideally, you don't want someone who's flying in and out if you can avoid it. We believe local is stronger, just simply because of the relationship side of it.
And local could be the next market next, over.
Even. Yeah,
like exactly. Fort Worth for Dallas for Fort Worth.
Hour drive, whatever it may be, yeah.
What about, I'm afraid that I'm going to anger my specialist and they won't send me a box of popcorn every year.
Yeah, popcorn, cookies.
Or my movie tickets.
Yeah. So that always comes up.
Or invite me to the party, the annual party at Six Flags.
You know, so you know, in our model, I would say almost 80% of our specialists have their own practice, right? And they understand that as long as we're preserving the specialty, we're doing it the right way, and the GP office is respecting the relationship. You know, they understand that they're not going. Less than 40% of patients come through their door, right?
Right.
But if there's an emergency, the specialist has a good enough relationship to understand that they're going to help support the general practice. So it's not something that's vindictive to say, I'm not sending you any of my patients. That's not the reason why most general dentists will bring in a specialist. They're bringing in a specialist because a lot of their patients won't go to a specialist.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to fight this battle in our profession until the GPs understand that we own this profession. I'm just telling you. Yeah. I mean, It's stupidity
on
my end.
So, you know, I like that comment because the GP is direct to consumer, right?
Dude, we are the conductor of the orchestra.
But specialists are also now going because, you know, you have different, you know, direct to consumer solutions out there. Specialists are now direct to consumer. Pediatric practitioners are going direct to consumer. Ortho practices are direct to consumer. A lot of OS practices are direct to consumer, right?
Especially on the bigger cases, absolutely.
They are. And so, I mean, I think if you take a step back and look at that, everybody is going direct to consumer. Why don't we all just kind of partner together and make this make sense?
Well, you know, so look, to kind of backtrack a little bit, you know, some of the benefits are, listen, at the end of the day, the cost of doing business today now is almost every practice needs cone beam, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Almost every practice needs digital impression. Almost every practice needs all these things
right.
that in the beginning, the early infancies of these technologies, they were specialist driven, right?
Right.
And now they're dwindling, you know, they're kind of trickling down to GPs, but
so
it's best use of your facility.
Resources, yeah. I mean, so a cone beam, you know, the sticker shock is one thing that deters a lot of folks from getting the cone beam, right? But if you have an oral surgeon who's coming in or a periodontist who's coming in and you have a $10,000 day and you're retaining 30 to 40% of that, there pays your monthly fee for your CBCT. There pays your, you know, maybe your treatment coordinator.
Dude, it might be enough money for you to take your practice to the next step, you know.
Or buy a second practice. And that's what we've seen. We've seen a lot of offices that we work with are queued up now because they don't have to be in the practice. They're ready to start adding a second location.
Yeah, you know, I joke around a couple of things that you've said that remind me of, you know, some conversation I've had with my dad is, number one is he absolutely makes fun of our profession. My dad was a dentist in India, so he's a trained dentist. But he makes fun of our profession in that we legitimately utilize our practice 50% of legitimate working hours.
Right.
Okay. To me, 30
hours a week typically.
Well, you know, to me, legitimate working hours are 6 days a week, 7 to 7.
Right.
So 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
Okay. So 6 times 12 is 72 hours a day, 72 hours a week.
Yeah.
So in my mind, there's legitimate 72 hours a week that to practice can and should be open.
Right.
Quite frankly.
Okay.
Right. And most practices are open 32 to 35 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's literally 50%.
Yeah.
So we're utilizing our facility 50% of the time. And literally most of us, like my practice, I've got literally $1 million of stuff parked in my practice.
Right.
That's only being used, in my case, 60% of the time.
Sure.
You know, and it makes no sense.
Yeah. You
know,
if you have extra operatories, I mean, you know, a periodontist, oral surgeon, they only need 2 operatories.
Right? In fact, so, you know, looking back to 2001, when I opened my office, what saved me, you know, what kept me afloat that first year was I had a person come in to do the surgeries for me on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And we did a 50-50 split.
Yep.
And he was happy, I was happy, and that revenue from that day you know, kept me afloat that first year.
So you did kind of the make versus buy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's solutions.
I was forced into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no
choice.
I needed something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just needed revenue.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah. And I think some offices that we run into, they like solutions like ours because maybe they have other kind of priorities and obligations where going out and recruiting and finding a specialist and finding the time to integrate with the specialist is difficult. But, you know, there are options. There's the make option, but there's the buy option. I think it's still very important that the workflow is mapped out. I mean, just like you do on your digital implants, you have a really defined workflow. This needs to be a really defined workflow.
It's a business model at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're confused about how to grow your practice, then you need to hear the rest of this message. Listen. The ways of the 1980s and the 1990s simply do not work anymore. You have to be different. And the way to be different in today's competitive environment is not doing more of the same thing that everybody else is doing, but adding new services to your practice. If you're looking for a solution that's logical, practical, and full of business tips to how to implement strategies into your practice to add new services, then you need to look at my company, 3D Dentists. We provide fantastic training that will help you grow your practice by adding new services to your existing patient base. If you want to learn more, all you got to do is visit www.3d-dentists.com and look around and see what's right for you. If you have any questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. Now let's get back to our show.
Before we go into the buy model, okay, let's talk about the split, staff, production, collections. Let's talk about the business side of bringing a specialist in.
Yeah.
So what is the typical split GP that's doing it on their own or whatever?
Right. So what you hear is 50%. It's a 50-50 split.
Okay.
Typically, that's off of production, not off of adjusted production or not off of collections. That puts the general practice a little bit more at risk if it's just production.
Okay.
In that 50-50 split, they're splitting the cost of the staff.
Okay, team.
A lot of times they're using the team of the general practices office, which can impact you know, the general dentist if they're also working there that day, yeah. right? If they're not working there that day, then that's not an issue. But then they're also splitting half the cost of the supplies. And so right. some of the supply costs are nominal. The
third molars is not those supplies, with right, stitches right. and, right. you know, gas mask, you know.
Yeah, whatever. So, you know, if they're doing IV sedation, you know, obviously there are some expenses.
I mean, the answer should be the whole, one of the points of bringing the specialist in right. is to, you know, provide that service.
Right. But, you know, medical complications and sure. things of that nature. But, like, you know, obviously when someone is bringing all their equipment, there's a lot of emphasis that needs to be on calibration and safety equipment is all up to, you know, the state. Like the Texas state has a defined list of what the safety requirements should be for IV sedation, right?
Right.
So you want to make sure you're investing into
and it's getting stricter and stricter
as it should.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if I'm sending my daughter's 5 years old when she's ready to get her wisdom teeth out, I want to make sure wherever she goes, they have the right safety equipment.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's one thing that should be a non-negotiable across the board. Right. But, so, you know, the staff, the supplies, or the team, the equipment, the supplies is typically split at 50-50.
Okay.
Cost of implants, bone, all that's okay. usually split at 50-50.
Right.
You know, there's some specialists who will come in with their own equipment and everything.
And then the number might fluctuate a few percent.
Yeah. And it really, it fluctuates plus or minus 5%.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
Anywhere between 40-60% is what
correct.
You're saying.
Yeah.
If I pay for everything and bring in a specialist as an associate,
right.
I'm probably going to do a 40% split for the specialist.
Right.
If we split everything down the middle, it's probably 50-50. And if I have them pay for everything,
right.
they're literally, like, in a way, space sharing and paying me a percentage.
Right.
Then it might be a 60 split for the specialist, 40 for me.
Right. And that's on the clinical side, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the one expense that sometimes we forget about is the team that's associated to the administrative side
right.
of making this work. Right. And so there's yeah. a lot of kind of administrative functions.
But they work for like $7 an hour, dude.
Yeah, $7.50, right?
Yeah, I'm kidding. All right. So hopefully we've answered a lot of the questions that people have or common misconceptions that they would have.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now sell me on this buy model, okay? So there's a few companies out there, yours included,
sure.
that have made a business
yeah.
out of providing specialties in GP offices. So walk me through how that works if I were to contact you.
So I'll give you my opinion. I think our company differentiates from the other companies in that we have skin in the game to make sure the administrative functions are taken care of. I think some of the other organizations out there, they can partner you up and maybe
give you the
names. Yeah, they're matchmakers. Yeah, so it's match.com pretty much
okay.
of specialists. Now, they have a good network. They have, you know, and the specialists are good. You know, they're screened specialists. You know, they probably interview them and qualify them. But our whole philosophy around it is it a good cultural fit for the practice?
Yeah.
So we'll come in and work with the practice, make sure we understand what the practice is looking for. And then on the buy side of it, you want somebody who's also engaged, because if your practice and your team does have turnover, who's going to come back into your practice and work with your team, right? Because the model cannot
stop. Well, the person
stop.
That has a best, right. that needs you to succeed
right.
for you to succeed.
It's not just the person who connected you. It's like a staffing agency. You call a staffing agency for an associate dentist. Well, the associate
sure.
dentist leaves.
Yeah.
The staffing agency is ready to charge you for a new associate
person.
Dentist, right?
They would prefer for them to leave after 3-4 months.
Right, because that's a model for them. We've really differentiated ourselves from that because we're investing into how do we make this grow long-term, right?
Okay.
And our specialists are giving, and they have their opportunity costs. They're shutting down their practice for a day.
So 80% of your specialists have their own practice.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, our clinical directors for oral surgery, they have three practices throughout Houston, very well known, very well respected throughout the Houston market, and they believe in what we're doing. They believe we're preserving the specialty because we're not just providing the clinical support, but we're helping the GP practice with the administrative side. And so one of the, you know, earlier we talked about implants, we talked about rep support,
right?
And so that's how we kind of correlate is, it's great if the specialist is able to place the implant, but what if the general dentist is not as familiar with that implant system and needs rep
right.
support on the restorative side? Is somebody available for them, right? And so I think that part's a critical element in our model versus some other models. But ultimately, those models are out there to help align you to specialists.
All right, so if I call you, you're going to do all the work for me. You're going to look for the specialist. You're going to, you know, Walk me through that.
Yeah, yeah. So you call us. What we do first, we do a practice assessment, find out which specialty is right for you. I mean, you may think you want a periodontist. Then we go back and look at the referrals that you've made, and maybe it's an oral surgeon or vice versa, right?
Okay.
Or maybe it's neither. Maybe it's ortho that's the best start for you, right? And so we'll first do an assessment there. And then we'll set you up with 2 to 3 specialists to meet and speak with, right? So they come in, they meet with your staff and your team, because again, it's a cultural fit. So as much as we want you to like them and them to like you, we really need the whole staff to like them,
right?
Because they got to be bought into it, the whole team to like them. Sorry, I'm gonna get that before the end of this.
Yeah, probably.
So that's an important element. And then once that happens, then our team, our operations team, because we're all just operators and clinicians, right? So then we then start working with the practice to identify patient opportunities and cases. We start working through. We have a channel where the practice will then send us the in a HIPAA compliant way, just the treatment plans, the panos. We then work with our specialist. We treatment plan it, send it back to the practice. We also do the insurance verification side of it, right? One of the reasons why some specialists who start as itinerant stop is because it's overwhelmed.
It's pain in the butt. Like, how I got to send you a pano, and then you come in, and well, we didn't get a pre-authorization.
Right.
You know,
it's overwhelming, right? Yeah. And so what we do is we funnel that, we consolidate that down for our specialists.
So it's a win for the GP and a win for the specialist as well.
So actually, you know, if you think about our model, we actually support the specialist.
Right.
And then we're providing services to the GP, but you know, our GP is not really our only client. Our specialist is our client. And so, because we want to make sure we make their life easier so they're fully engaged in this type of model.
By the way, they're the limiting factor in how fast you can grow.
They are a rate limiting step. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Just like for DSOs, the GP dentist is the rate limiting
step. Yeah. And so we'll do the treatment plan, the insurance verification. We'll have an operator who's there the day of on those specific production days. We provide all the consent form. I mean, everything that we provide in packets has all been vetted by, malpractice attorneys and associations.
Yeah, but you guys have something to lose too.
Yeah, because we have skin. Yeah, absolutely. Because we don't, we pre-screen, we do pre-op calls. Because what we don't want is we don't want a patient to show up and they had breakfast.
Right.
Well, we just lost that patient in that case, and we have a big block of time that's unused now, right? And
so everybody loses.
It's and that's one of the biggest frustrations for everybody, right? Is okay, well, it wasn't planned out well. So that's where our goal is, how do we optimize that time that they're there, right? And so, from the step standpoint, we then go through those steps. We have our production days. Our team makes sure to call the patients that evening, and then
who does the billing?
So all the billing goes to the practice tax ID. It goes under the specialist NPI. That's the legal way of doing it. So we bill it through the tax ID. Our operators are there to help scrub it before it goes.
And by scrub it, you mean check the codes, check the notes, make sure we're not missing anything.
If narratives are needed, they're able to ping the doctor and make sure all the narratives are there. If they needed an oral picture scanned in or added in advance, those are provided. So then all that's, because at first pass payment rate is kind of the most important aspect of this. And so we want to load that up. Now, inevitably, you're going to get a denial, right?
Or you but the nice thing is you take care of that then.
So we help them, right? So that's where our operations team comes back in.
Because you don't get paid then.
We don't get paid. We have skin in the game. Yeah. Right. And we're also not off of production. We're off of adjusted production, which is more skin in the game. Because we're not collections, because we can't control the patient collection portion. But if an insurance company downcodes it, we want to help defend it. And if it still stays downcoded, then we make the adjustment. But there's transparency around it.
Right. So if you're in the state of Texas right now, there's no reason for people not to call you.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. So if your practice doing $500,000 or more,
right,
on general, 600, whatever it is, you owe it to yourself. There's no cost or obligation on their end to call you to have a conversation.
Good point.
To even see, like, you can dive in to their offices and, through their remote login or whatever it is, and kind of have a conversation with them and see if it even fits.
We do free assessments.
Especially if they're in the Dallas or Houston market.
Right. Yeah. So we'll do free assessments at the practice. We've really eliminated every barrier to start this, right? So
what's in your best interest to do that?
So there's no long-term contract. There's no upfront cost. There's no capital investment on the practice side.
So let's talk about that. So we didn't mention that. So you provide all the sedation equipment. You provide all, let's say the endodontist needs a microscope, whatever it may be.
Yeah, microscope,
So everything. Mm-hmm. So it's literally turnkey.
It's really just gloves, bibs, gauze.
stuff I already have.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I hire a company like yours, buy a company, as you call it, is basically I change nothing on my end except a few things of referring to you, of referring through our in-office specialist, and you know, sending some information in advance. That's it. Otherwise, I don't have to worry about buying new equipment. Don't have to worry about getting sutures. Don't have to get worried about getting anything. I just need to have functional operatories.
The only only three things we want in a practice is they have oxygen, nitrous, and a wheelchair if we're going to do IV sedation.
Okay,
that's it.
Yeah. And that's pretty straightforward.
Right.
How do people get in touch with you?
They can go onto our website, CompleteSpecialty.com. They can shoot me an email at Santosh, S-A-N-T-O-S-H, at Complete Specialty, or they can call my cell, 214-435-7263.
So again, let's say that slowly.
214-435-7263.
All right. Yeah. Santosh, it was a great conversation.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now you just need to come to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Look, I mean, We're passionate about this. We really think we can move the needle and kind of helping independent practices stay independent. And, you know, it's folks like you that want to grow bigger practices with hiring associates, and we feel like we're a good complement to that.
Yeah, you're just another associate. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it.
Are you confused by all the implant messaging out there? Are you worried about which implant to choose, what kit to choose, what tie base to use, when to use what, when to send it to the lab, when to mill with your CEREC machine, when to print guides, when to mill guides, when all of these things happen? You're not alone. It's getting noisier and noisier out there today. And what you need is a simple solution with a consistent workflow that simply works. At 3D Dentists, we teach how to do digital implant dentistry, leveraging your CEREC technology and leveraging your cone beam technology in a proven workflow that is efficient, predictable, and profitable. You owe it to yourself to take one of our workshops by visiting 3D Dentists at www.3d-dentist.com and learn more about what we're teaching. I look forward to seeing you at one of our workshops.